Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the catch-up.
Thanks to Heatworks.
Check out the first ever barbecue expo this weekend for free barbecue hero cooking demonstrations. Heatworks Norwood. 104.7 Triple M.
Ru, what is making news right around the globe?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about Arium for a year or two now with in big debt up at Whyalla, and there could be a lot of job losses and a lot of people owed money. Well, yesterday there could be a bit of a white knight. A Korean company is potentially looking at buying Arium and building a new power plant as well as a new steelworks up there. So potentially could be a big transaction going up there, which would be great for that area. It's only early days, but they have said they are extremely interested in the project. So,
but what about the figure, the debt there? That's unbelievable.
Well, it says on the front page of the paper today that with debts of $4.3 billion, I haven't heard anywhere near that figure that when we've been talking about it in the past. I don't know if I've forgotten it or not. I thought it was more like $1 or $2 billion. But who knows? I'm not sure on that. But if there's a new power plant, new steelworks going up there, that would mean a lot of jobs. But Tom Koutsitonis was over there yesterday talking to these boys, and let's wait and see what happens there. That potentially could be good news for the state, though.
Can I just tell you a little aside? Koreans, when you do business with Koreans, and good morning to all the Koreans listening, but I was involved with a Korean company about 20 years ago. And it was almost comical, but it wasn't. But you know what they did? In their head office, on a Monday morning, they all used to stand around the safe, right? I'm not making this up. They used to stand around the safe
this is sounding fantastic.
And like recite this company creed. It was like the safe was the golden chalice because it was all full. Yeah, it was full of money,
yeah,
and that's what they're all about. I'm not joking. This was part of the protocol of working for a Korean
company.
So what,
you prayed to the safe?
It was almost like that, yeah.
Mm.
I couldn't believe it.
I can picture doing that.
Yeah.
Please be full when I open
it. Because I've seen you do that around the till at the Alma.
Please fill up. Please fill up.
Yeah, that's true.
It's called capitalism.
That's it.
Capitalism
at its absolute best or worst. Yeah, no doubt about that. Hey, here's a voice that we're not going to hear anymore.
This has been another presentation from Nine's Wide World of Sports.
Kenny Sutcliffe.
Oh, what about that growing up as a kid? It's 50 years in broadcasting he's been now.
Yeah, he's 68 years of age, 37 years at Channel 9. That's a fair innings, isn't it? This was his speech. Blakey's got this for us.
After 50 years of broadcasting and 37 years at the Nine Network, I have decided to retire. Now, I've been thinking about it for some time and believe this is the perfect moment to move on from a job I've loved so much. I can't wait to spend more time with my grandchildren, play a bit of sport rather than watch it, and travel with my wife, Anne. Yeah, Pete, done and dusted.
Well done.
Fairly popular, Kenny Sutcliffe.
Oh, I reckon he has been. I reckon he's great. He's got a great voice, and that's a long time to be in the industry, 50 years, isn't it, broadcasting? So well done to him, and hope he has a happy retirement. Our love for utes in Australia, Ditson, you know, you're the man. You've been driving the ram around,
truck,
which you call a truck, and Aussies call it a ute. Our love for utes has gone to a whole new level. It is the first time in Australian automotive history that a pair of utilities have taken out the top two spots in the monthly sales charts.
Really?
Here in Australia now. We've got the Toyota Hilux as number one.
Yep.
And we've got the Ford Ranger as number two.
Sure.
Okay, just knocking off the Toyota Corolla there for second place. But, two of the highest-selling cars in Australia now are utes.
Makes sense. I reckon. I think in my next car I'm going to get one. Because you had a Toyota Hilux.
Hilux, a
the thing
ripper
is,
of a car.
When you need to go, like, you know, if you want to go up
especially
the river
for
as
families.
You do. Yeah, stack it up. You've still got the two seats in the, you know, the
dual cab. So you
can
have five people in there. And
then load up the back.
And I had a hard top on the back, so you could have whatever you want on the back, or you could lock it up and be safe as well. So like a massive boot. And really good to drive. So,
for families, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. So that's interesting.
All right, that's what's making news locally and around the globe.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, time for dumb comments.
Yeah, it is time for dumb comments. And we've got a few of our own at the moment. It's been a bit of a rough week.
Righto, who's first up?
Maybe Alice from just a little while ago.
Oh, this Alice the Wag. Give us a heap of sunglass brands.
Chanel. Dolce & Gabbana. Dolce & Gabbana.
Dolce, what'd you say? All right. That well-known brand, Dolce & Gabbana.
What about Ditch? I think you might have put your foot
me?
In. Me? Seriously, I don't know if you've ever done it before, but you might have actually made a mistake.
Get out.
No, you may have. Let's just have a listen.
I think it might turn out, Mel, there is the odd legitimate reason to dob someone in.
Turns out I completely agree you should dob everyone in.
Dob everyone in. There you go. We've done a 360 here. Did a 360. Went back to where we started from.
You've done a 180.
Oh, right.
It's all right.
Righto.
It's not your strong point, Matt. That's all right. It's not really a super dumb. It's just a little bit.
No.
Who else have we got?
Nice dress.
Thanks. I bought it at Versace. In the forum?
Oh, yeah, Versace.
Yeah, that's just a tribute to Alice there. Versace, like your Dolce &
Gabbana. Oh, right, okay.
That was out of a movie.
Which movie was it?
Showgirls, yeah. There you go. Hey, dumb comments, 133353. If you call now for our best dumb comment, Roo, we're going to send you down to a very, very nice pub. This is the Joiners down there opposite Highmow Stadium,
Arms.
Cooper Stadium. Inner city, good vibes. Now, this has got Adelaide's only whiskey den, all right?
$100
to spend down there on lunch or dinner. Beautiful pub, the Joiners Arms, just out of the city there. As I said, just opposite Hindmarsh. Give us a ring with your dumb comments, 133353.
Triple M.
Taking calls on dumb comments, Roo, 133353.
Let's go to Globe Derby. G'day, Mark.
Hey, Roo, how you going, mate?
Good, buddy. You got a dumb comment for everyone?
Yeah, it's a good one sort of for you on your lines. The Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
I've decided to read out the sweep page and let everyone know whose horses were who.
Yep.
And I've read out mine and I said, I've got Shot Featherman. And everyone's looked at me like,
Shot Featherman.
So I'm talking myself and it's actually Shot the Barman.
Who shot the Barman? Who shot the
Barman?
Who shot Featherman? Poor old Featherman. Oh,
that's up there with Texas Warwick.
Yeah, it is. All right. No, well done, mate.
It's because they spell it the same way as Featherman.
Mark, that's leading so far. One from one.
Plimpton, g'day, Tim.
How you going, buddy?
Good. Give us your dumb comment.
My partner, Chelsea, at the time, we were at... the Old Crow Foodland on Goodwood Road. We were in the lolly section. I just grabbed the bag. I chucked the lollies in. I was just about to tie the knot up, and she's turned around and said, make sure you take the air out so it doesn't cost as much.
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, no.
Beautiful. Right, let's go to Everfall Park. Excellent. Elijah. Morning, Elijah.
Hey, Roo, how'd you take it on, boy?
Good.
Hey, I was on holiday with my family, and we were in Amsterdam at the time, and Norwegian Airways said they had free Wi-Fi on their planes if you paid extra. Mm. And my sister said, oh, let's go to Norwegia.
Very good. Norwegia. I like it.
Let's go to Morphett Vale. G'day, Jill.
Good morning.
Got a dumb comment for us, Jill?
Yes, you've got to remember I was only a kid at the time, but I had this great big pure white New Zealand rabbit. I said to my mum, I don't think he's too well. She said, well, why don't you ring the vet and see what he's got to say? So he asked me what I thought was wrong with him, and I said, oh, he looks a bit pale.
What did the vet say?
I think he tried to contain his laughter, and he said to me, if you're worried about him, bring him in. But, yeah, he was fine. I was just overreacting.
Good on you, Jill.
Good on you, Jill. Give him a carrot. Let's go to Croyd now, eh, Ange?
Yeah, g'day, boys. So wife and I, we go and get coffees a lot. And she's always complaining the coffee's not sweet enough. It's the milk's off or something like that. Anyway, we finally get a coffee and we get in the car. She has a sip and she goes, oh, perfect. You know, and I said, oh, you're happy? She goes, that guy, he's the best. He's the best barrister we've ever had.
Barrister.
I said, what? She said, he's the best barrister we've ever had. I said, it's not barrister, it's barista. She goes, what's the difference? I said, it's probably about $450,000 a year.
Probably. Well done.
Good on you, Ange. Good work. Let's go to Glen Osborne. How are you, Matthew?
Good, mate. You, boys?
Good. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I was sat at home. Anyway, the missus had been out for a long dog walk. She come back in really pleased with herself. She said, I've just walked 8K with the dog. So how far has the dog walked because he's got four legs?
No.
He didn't get it to the shape.
Jesus
Christ. That's brilliant.
What's wrong with these girls?
I love it. I love our audience, Roo.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's they, keep us entertained. Who are you going to go with, Roo?
Well, not bad, Matthew from Glen Osmond with the dog walk, but I'd have to go back to Tim from Plimpton with the get the air out of the bag, otherwise it'll way too much.
I did like
Who shot Theberman? Who shot the barman? It was a good field today.
The barrister was good too.
It was a group one field.
Group one field.
The barrister was good. Yeah. We'll go to Tim from Plimpton.
Righto.
Though.
Well done, Tim.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Roo. The test starts today at the Wacker. We always know it's summer when it's the opening day over there. The big bouncy Perth wicket.
Yeah, we love making some runs, and we need some runs over there at the moment too. But Warner loves making tons over there. I think he's made 3 centuries the last 4 digs.
Yeah, how good's this though? That our very own Buff Lehman these days is coach of the test side. This is a side that I'd want to be in if he's the coach.
Yep.
I reckon it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
As well as serious cricket.
Very disciplined though these days. Don't worry about that.
Even got out of bed to take our phone call. Oh. Darren Lehman, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you, buddy?
Jeez, it's early over there in the west. We have got you out of
bed
early.
He's already done a 10K run. What are you talking about?
Yeah, nice try. I'm looking at a beautiful scenery in Perth. Good day, so it's going to be a cracking game for the test.
He's watching people do a 10K run around that river there, the Swan
River.
While
he attacks the buffet. They have a good buffet over there, Buff, don't they?
Oh, they do. It's hard to stop
going back and back and back.
Righto, now we've softened you up. We've been nice to you. Joe Many, for God's sake, Buff, you couldn't squeeze the South Australian boy into the side?
Yeah, it was a tough call. Obviously, we went with the experience of Sids and both bowled beautifully all week in the lead-up. So really tight call, but Joe will get his chance somewhere down the track. He's been great around the group. Tough call, but Sids is flying.
Tell me, with Peter Siddle, it's not a comeback, but has he sort of resurrected himself? I would have thought 6 to 12 months ago, he was probably thinking, I might have played, just about my last test or my last series. Would I be right in saying that or not?
Oh, I think he was bowling well enough, 6 to 12 months ago, and then he obviously had the injury. So, comeback, no. We always want him back in the setup, and it's ahead of schedule, so it's a pleasing thing for us. Because we've got some injuries at the moment with our bowlers, but having said that, I mean, he's got the zip back, which is great. So he's actually had a really good pre-season, if that makes sense, considering the Australian cricket team doesn't get a pre-season. He's one that has, so really looking forward to him bowling well.
Buff, what about the Clarkie bringing out his book? There's been allegations flying around left, right and centre from all different people about things that have happened in the past. How do you feel about blokes bringing it out into the general public to make a dollar in a book?
Yeah, it's not great, is it, with past players? Mind you, I've got a book out as well, so you can't say too much, mate.
Have you potted anyone in it?
No.
Other than anyone who should get potted? If you do that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Look, I'd rather leave it in-house as much as you can, especially the things they were talking about. But that's up to them and their choice how they go about it. So, there's some things in there we disagree with, and that's fine as well. You're allowed to have your own opinion. So, all the players at the moment have been coming out different ways about different things, and
doesn't look good
for the game either. No, I totally agree. So we've got to get better at that, and deal with it one on one. That's probably the best way for mine.
But is it a distraction in the change room? You're about to play the first test. Has it got everyone talking? Has it got you off guard a little bit?
No, because you all knew it was coming out for months. So that's the easy thing. You just play it down and the way it goes. You know, the press pick it up probably more than the players. So obviously we read it, work out what's been said by whom and where and when. But apart from that, blokes have been fantastic. It's been our best prep for, you know, the summer, well, lots of summers. So really happy with them where they're at.
The South Africans, it starts today. Who's their match winner? Who do you need to contain in their side?
I suppose from a batting point of view, you're talking Amber and Duplessis, and then bowling point of view, all their quicks are very good. So we're going to have to be on our game. They're a good side, but, you know, they haven't played on a fast, bouncy wicket, and it looks like it's going to be a bouncy track. Only time will tell with that over the 5 days. But, you know, they've got some quality players, and we'll certainly have to play well.
What am I going to learn if I read your book, Buff?
You learn, hopefully, how to coach a little bit, Roo, when you coach the Crows one day.
Right, how to coach. What's the number one tip to be a good coach?
Make it a great environment to learn and get better and have some fun.
Yes.
I think the sport's about fun, and we want our kids to have as much fun growing up watching the Australian cricket team and become, you know, better players. That's the key.
Are there a lot of photos in this book?
Yeah, nice one, Dick.
It's a pop-up book.
It's a pop-up book. Hey, now, before you leave us, what's this product you're endorsing? I've heard about this ball you've got out coming up for Christmas for the kids called Bamboozle.
I've heard about this.
What's this all about?
Yeah, well, it's a swinging ball that's made of rubber. So, and it bounces more like a cricket ball. You know how you had to tape and you guys did in the backyard with tape and tennis ball?
Yep.
It's a better version of that. So it swings and it seams and spins and it's rubber, so it bounces more like a cricket ball, and it's still not going to hurt any kids. So it's a great setup.
So really, teaching kids to bowl swing.
That's exactly right.
And face
swing as well. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I struggle with that, so it was great to. My kids are out of the backyard trying it as well, so they love it.
So the Bamboozle. All right. So parents listening, look out for it in the build up to Christmas. Good
great
present
Christmas
for kids.
Present.
Bamboozle. There you go. Hey, Buff, good luck today. Good luck for all summer. And thanks so much for getting up early to take our call. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Great South Australian, Darren Lehman. Buff.
Triple M wants to get banned at your work.
God damn.
Well, we want to get this guy's banned at your work anyway.
G'day, Triple M workers.
One, two, three.
Gliso here from the Screaming Jets, and our new album, Chrome, is out right now. To get us rocking at your workplace, you've got to put your name down now at triplem.com.au, and with any luck, the Jets will be playing at your workplace.
This morning after 9, we start calling our workplaces. Just ring us back for the chance to have the Screaming Jets play at your work.
Good luck.
Triple M's band at your work. Does what it says.
The hard-hitting topics, the big issues.
Well, not really, but we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Oh, Patsy's back from absolutely fabulous. How was your Melbourne Cup day, Catherine?
I had
Catherine?
A great Melbourne Cup,
all right,
thank
we'll
you.
Get to that in just a moment. Mel the Button Pusher.
Good morning.
Good morning, and Alice the Wag.
Hello.
What do girls do on a girl's night out?
Oh, what do you do?
Well,
Catherine?
We can't actually let you know because it's girl's secret. But
whinge about us.
Well, you know that's what's really sad. We actually don't even talk about boys.
Oh,
we seriously don't. We
it dominates the.
No, seriously, it doesn't. Like, it's funny when boys are out, boys like look at other girls and go, you know, she's hot and she looks good and whatever. Girls, we're all in our own world and we're just, you know, having fun talking about what we want to talk about, and it's definitely not about men.
Aren't you really? I don't believe
you.
I do not believe you. You know what I found.
Your nose is growing.
I know I'm a bit older, but we seriously don't talk about men.
I just want to ignore the three angels for one moment, pretend they're not here.
Okay.
I just want to talk to you man to man.
Go for it.
What about when we're like a weekend away and you say to the girls,
we're just going to go.
We'll go down to the pub
for a couple hours.
You know what? Within 20 minutes, they're all down there as well. Because they've all run out of things
just felt
to say.
Like a coffee.
And what it means is without us, they're hopeless.
No, they're useless.
They need us to dominate the conversation, make them laugh, everything. Yep. Right, let's try back to the angels.
This is the angel
scene. Right. Mel the Button Pusher.
Oh, God, I've got a one-year-old. I haven't had a girl's night out in over a year and a half.
What would you do if you had a girl's night out, Mel?
Kath's right. We don't talk about you.
You
I don't
do
know
so.
What skewed bloody view you have of
we're
interested
important.
In.
We're important. We're
no,
important.
We just have fun.
Girls naturally have fun.
We're
happy. Do you know what I think it is? I said girls are just genuinely happy. Men need other men to entertain themselves
met
and beers
these types
and stuff.
Of girls.
Where do they
hang
out?
We've got three right here.
Really? Right.
I know if I was out with my best mates, it'd be, a drink at the pub, a good laugh, maybe a dance later, but we also do a little bit of dares in the pub.
Oh,
what do you mean?
What sort of dares?
Oh, like you have to go kiss and get such bloke. And such. A, yeah, that's happened. you have to get that bloke's number, and you're not allowed to use this word or let whatever.
I just thought of something. So if every girl over the years has come and kissed me, she was on a bet. Was she? Go and kiss that ugly bloke.
Yeah.
God, I thought I was pulling.
You thought you were going.
Right, well. Alice the Wag, what happens on a girl's night?
Mainly just naked pillow fights and stuff. No.
You're obviously. An idiot.
Yeah, just a lot of drinking. I feel like I drink more when I'm not with boys because you just let loose, have so much fun. A
Girls
lot of dancing.
Get loud, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of bitching, messy. Like stalking people on Instagram and bagging them and judging people watching.
Right.
Judging people people's watching. Outfits and stuff is fun. Yeah. Yeah, just let loose.
Gee,
have fun.
Don't we miss out? Sounds like loads of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Miss jealous.
Yeah, you
right.
do.
I want to go back to Melbourne Cup Day. Mel the button pusher. Does it bother you as an Australian? Are we embarrassed about Melbourne Cup Day? Because we're actually copying a bit of a hiding from the rest of the world saying how trashy are Australians? And what I'm alluding to here is if it was Kentucky Derby, they're all very refined. If it was Royal Ascot, they're all very well dressed and refined. And then what happens is they're sending photos all over the world of the aftermath of the Melbourne Cup, people falling over.
Heads in wheelie bins.
People, you know, ladies vomiting in bins and all sorts of things. Is it a good look or is that something we should be proud of?
No, I don't. I want people to be able to go and have fun, but the world's changed a bit. You could go along and do that in yesteryear, but now everyone's got
without
their phones
caught.
Out and, yeah, you're getting busted. I don't think it's necessarily fair that every photographer from papers in Melbourne is there stalking women who look the worst on ground the other day. I don't know if that's fair either.
20 people out of 100,000.
Yeah, exactly. If you look at it like that, maybe it's not so bad, but it's not a good look. I read an article that was written in the States the other day and they were just absolutely taking us apart
really?
For how trashy we were. Yeah.
Trashy Australians. Alice the Wag, what do you think?
You'd be one of these, Wag, I reckon. If you were over there, you'd be one.
Yeah, that also was me at the highway. She said that, I'm not going to lie. No, leave us alone. Like, everyone looks like that after a big day out drinking. It would happen anywhere around the world. It just happens that we're getting the photographers stalking us. Like, if you went to some other place on a Saturday night anywhere around the world, everyone would look like that. It's just unlucky. Leave us alone.
Patsy.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's good. I don't think it really represents Australia. You know, I think, you know, what are the reporters doing? I mean, there's so many glamorous women there and men that look fantastic and they're all dressed up. And, you know, why wouldn't you use it as a selling point to get, you know, people that go to Royal Ascot and stuff to come over and go to the Melbourne Cup and make it a,
good point.
You know, international event.
Good point.
Rather than, you know, promoting that side of it, you know. Yeah, and unfortunately that happens. People misjudge their drinking.
The
Alice.
Devil's urine for 8 hours in the sun
exactly.
is never going to work well for anyone.
Exactly.
Right.
But
all
it's
right.
so yeah. fun.
Well done, angels.
See you, girls.
Thanks. Thank you. Woo-hoo.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Get it off your chest with Ruined Tits Red Fist. For Victory Verandas, Carports and Louvers.
Okay, Roo, we find this therapeutic. Things that just annoy you a little bit, you can get them off your chest. Anything you've got today?
No, only that I have to go on a bloody boys trip for a few days, Dits. I'm going to give the red fist to my wife for letting me go. Bloody hell, Sarah. I've just had a bike accident.
Because you don't want to go, do you?
No, I don't want to go. Now I've got to go away with all my mates and punt and drink and eat crabs and listen to blokes fart and tell jokes and
what, laugh a lot?
And laugh and, you know, and not have any kids to, you know, waking me up and Sarah needs a red fist for
I can
that.
See where you're coming from.
Doesn't she?
Come on, wake up yourself,
Come on,
Sarah.
Yeah. Get me under the thumb a bit.
Mel the button pusher, you said you had one this morning for us as well.
I reckon two mornings out of five when I drive in here, which is pretty early, you know, starting pretty early. So driving in at about five-ish, I get tailgated most mornings. There's no one else on the road except you and me, mate.
It's not a stalker.
Yeah,
and I'm in
you know
a tiny little hatchback. He's in a massive ute.
There's a bloke who's keen on you. There's a fella keen on you, mate.
Oh, now I feel so special.
Is it a big red ram or not?
No, it was white, thankfully.
Right.
You know what they do when they do that to you? Just slam the brakes on.
I did that.
Okay. How does that go?
Well, I'm going to come off second best.
Yeah, you will at some stage.
My car looks like a toy car.
Yeah.
Right. My red fist this morning, I'm going to upset a few people here, but I need to. No, I've got to say it.
Don't do it.
Roo, on Cup Day, I love the fact that people come from far and wide on Cup Day, and it's the one day a year that they have a bet. But what I want a queue introduced for first-time punters, or it should say on the sign,
mug.
I bet once a year, all right? Because I missed two bets on. Now, I woke up after a couple of races to get in earlier, but the lady going, is it Yankee Banana? Is it called Yankee? I'm going, Yankee Rose Love, Yankee Rose. Is it Yankee whatever? And the bookie's just looking at her, and then she goes, and what's a trifecta? Is that when I get them in? Yeah. And can I box that trifecta? And I'm going, 30 seconds till my horse jumps.
Come and on, how much does it cost?
And yeah, and do you take 50 cent bets anymore? Is it still 50 cent unit? Or and then they go, and they're off. And I'm standing there going, geez, I haven't got on. And my horse wins.
Well, I spent half the day doing that Tuesday.
Now, I love it. I love it that all of you, and it tends, I'm sorry to be sexist here, but it tends to be ladies. There aren't too many blokes standing there
Blakey's
going.
Blakey's like that.
Oh, mate, is it 50 cent unit or dollar unit? Or and
how much does it cost?
And
if
you
I
know,
have
with
four?
The quinella, does that mean they finish one and two, or do they finish two and one, or what happened? What is it? What does a quinella mean?
Do they still have 50 cent bets?
My son Tom wants to have a dollar. Hang on, I've got a list here. My son Tom wants a dollar each way on Big Orange, and my son Jack he wants 50 cents each way on. And meanwhile, they're going, no, there's no 50 cent units left. Oh, okay, sorry. And then they've jumped, and I'm standing there with me $50, and my horse wins.
I'm sorry, did I?
Yeah. And then they look at me, they giggle, and they go, oh, I only do this once a year. Well, that really pisses me off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, fair enough, too. Yeah.
Right, that's my red fist.
Yeah, good work, Dits.
Right, so can we have a queue, please? A separate queue.
Mug punters.
And by all means, go your hardest every year, enjoy the Melbourne Cup, and have a bet. But make sure we get our bets on, please.
You know what you should do, Ditch? You should stand at the front of that queue and be an SP bookie like your old man at the Alberton back
take
in the day.
$1 each.
Just take all those mug punts and you'd clean up for the day. if you're risky enough.
Yeah. And then the old lady wins with a dollar each way. And she's in the queue in
Prince
front of me.
She's the one going
I had a winner. How do I collect? And then they go, no, it's not correct. Wait yet, love. You'll have to wait. Oh, okay. And then she comes. Is it ready yet? No, it's not correct. Wait yet, love. And then I'm in behind.
You'll count your losses.
Oh, God, funny old lady.
Yourself,
I'll pay your bet. Just get lost with you. I'll pay it.
Go back to the RSL.
Crikey. 133353. What is your red fist today? 133353.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Red fist time for our best one. We've got $100 to give away thanks to Victory Verandas, Carports and Louvers.
Well, let's go to Onkaparinga. G'day, Brody.
How you going?
Who do you want to give a red fist to, bro?
Red fist does go to all apprentices. I'm an apprentice at the moment. No doubt that one line of dust that just will not go into the dust can when you sweep it up.
Yes. Now, this is very... Oh, no, why is that?
Oh, I don't know. There's a science behind it, but I can't work it out.
Now, Brody,
get yourself a Dyson.
Very clever. How often do you get down on hands and knees with the dustpan and the little
most
brush?
Most days, yeah, most
He's
days.
He's right. There's one line of little bit of dust that won't go in.
Naughty dust.
And then you just blow it away, so therefore it's left there.
Yeah.
No, I'm on Brody's side. Need to get a
Dyson.
$800.
Suck it up. David, who do you want to give a red fist to?
Morning, boys. Look, I don't know whoever made the decision that these wide vision side view mirrors on cars ought to be standard, but I've just got a 2015 model recently, and I've had three occasions already where I use my main mirror, and then go to check my side mirror to change lanes, and I think I've got 20, 30 metres up my sleeve, and it turns out that it's more like 5, because what you can see more of the car, you can see, you know, you get more vision, but it doesn't give you a genuine indication.
Distorts it a bit, does it?
Yeah, well, it does it a lot. Yeah,
objects are closer than they appear in the mirror.
Yeah. Previous vehicle, I had one, you know, on just the passenger side, but I've got them on both sides now. I'm going to look into getting them changed because it's just flat out dangerous.
All right, good on you, Dave. It's very hard to read the disclaimer on the mirror. As I'm flicking and I think, I'll just read the disclaimer. Objects in the rear vision are closer than they appear. Oh, okay.
Well, they have a sticker saying the object is exactly the same distance as it looks. That would be handy.
Yeah,
make it a bit easier.
And by the time you've done that, boom, you've just hit something. I mean,
what sort of ridiculous sticker is that, isn't it? Objects are closer than they appear. Okay.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Let's go to Walkley Heights. G'day, Sam. Oh, we were going Strathalbyn, Lachlan. Lockie.
Hello, Lachlan. Hello. Lachlan's gone
busy.
To sleep.
Let's go to Walkley Heights. G'day, Sam.
Yeah.
Who do you want to give a red fist to, mate?
I've been waiting for this for a long time.
Oh,
Posties. I love my lawn.
Yeah.
Manicure it. If you got your post box next to your driveway, can you not just drive up the driveway, put them in the letters rather than drive across the lawn and leave a trench there?
Oh, especially after a bit of rain, Sam.
Oh, mate, I've backfilled it this year and I put a couple of posts up with a couple of strings across it so they can't do it and they haven't done it. I'm tempted to take the flags off so he drives straight through it one day.
Oh, Sam.
Jeez.
Just taking a deep breath.
Righto.
Only trying to do their
Sam's
job.
Sam's fired up.
Let's go to Morfordvale. G'day, Tony.
Hey, g'day, boys. How you going?
Good, Tony. Who do you want to give a red fist to?
The pricks who sit in the right-hand lane when it's 80 k's and signs sit in the left lane unless overtaking or in 100 k's.
Yep.
Heading south expressway. They're doing 80 k's, banking up all the traffic, just merrily listening to their radio, and here we are sitting there trying to get home.
Well, hey, they might be listening to Triple M,
they could be listening to Jars and slowing them down a bit.
Yeah. Roo,
that is a bad
we talk about this all the time, and now I'm using the freeway every day. Why can't people learn? Why can they not?
They're the people. They just don't get anything, those people.
No.
Who do you want to give it to, Dits?
Actually, we got Lachlan back. We got
Lockie back.
Yeah, we have.
G'day,
boys.
G'day, Lockie. What happened there, Lockie?
Oh, I ran out of signal real quick.
All right. Do you want to give a red fist to?
I'd have to go to my sister.
Hang on. You can't have a crack at my sister.
What's her name?
Madison.
Madison. Righto. What's it for?
Yeah, sounds a bit harsh, but I've just recently moved out of home.
Yeah.
And the day before I started, 21.
Okay.
Righto.
And then the day before I went to move all of my stuff out, she walked in with a tape, with the old man's tape measure, and started measuring stuff up in my room for all her stuff.
She's moving straight in.
And hadn't even moved out yet, and she's already planning to put stuff in.
Nah.
I said, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, my TV's going to go there, and I might put my bed here, and my tool boy there.
How old's Madison?
She's 18.
Good. And so a couple of good years out of that.
Lockie, any skeletons in the closet? Any surprises for her?
No, I should have put like a rat in the air vent or something, but no. No, I think the old man put a stop to her having the room, so I think he's got it now, so that's all right.
Good on you, Lockie. Well, good luck moving out, and all the best, mate.
Hey, Lockie, whereabouts are you heading to? You shifting in with mates, or what are you doing?
No, I moved in with my fiance, actually.
Whee!
Yeah, good man.
Good luck.
Righto. What's your fiance's name?
Sam.
Sam. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll give you $100. Take Sam out for dinner.
Take her out for dinner, mate.
Thank you very much.
Good on you. Mate.
Well done, thanks, Lockie. To Victory Carports, Verandas and Louvers. $100 there for Lockie from Strathalbyn.
104.7 Triple M is Roo and Dits for breakfast.
I have heard along the way that Roo liked to wear his sister's clothes a bit.
And the 6 till 6 no repeat work day. Workplace Soundtrack is 104.7 Triple M.
Aru, this sounds like a pretty good story. I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, well, I was down the Alma the other day just poking around, doing a bit of work, I think, and a lad walked up to me and said, Tex Walker come up to me several months ago and called me big fella, and I thought I better do something about it. I'm a bit overweight and a bit...
why don't we let him tell the story?
Yeah, well, why don't we do that instead, Dits? Let's get Gary on. Gary, good morning.
Morning, Roo and Dits. How are you guys?
Tell us how it all unfolded, mate.
Went down the Crows Open training and with my daughter, my little seven-year-old, and went to get my Guernsey signed. And a couple of the Crows players said, who's this massive Guernsey belong to? And it was me. And then finally Crows, Tex walked up and said, here you go, big fella. And that sort of snapped me into action and I decided to go lose some weight. So
how big were you, Gary?
Just over 160 kilos.
And how tall are you?
Just on 6 foot.
Just on 6 foot and 160. Had you been thinking about doing something about this before? And were you unhappy with your shape and size?
I was definitely depressed, yeah, for sure. So I needed to do something, and that was the start of it. And then a bit of a catalyst. I had a little bit of a separation, and that sort of kicked me fully in the action, and off I went.
Just the fact that Tex said big fella, you sort of, what, it really jolted you?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he say it? He certainly would have said it in a good way, knowing Tex.
Yeah. He did his, definitely in jest. And, but it sort of resonated with me and off I went.
Well, good on you, Gary. Now, well done, firstly, for doing something about it. Now, how much weight have you lost?
I'm down to 92 kilos.
So what's that in total?
Just shy of 70 kilos I've lost.
Gee, in mate, how long? Well done.
In how long's that?
Started the 27th of January. So
what's that, 8 months or 9 months or something, is it?
Yep. And then went into hospital on the 28th on our blackout night and got rid of the extra skin and recovering now. So how
do they do that? They actually chop away skin, do they?
They do, yep. So wow. The only way to tighten up if you get that big is to go get it cut off and, do a bit of a Sam Newman.
How'd you lose the weight?
Body trim diet, or what I call a life change, which is a low-carb thing, and I got up to running about 10Ks a day, so did it all properly.
See, that's good. Well done.
Oh, well, good combination. Now,
how good do you feel now? Describe the difference to us.
Awesome. Complete life change. Happy within myself, fitter. Hanging to go for a run, which I'm not allowed to at the moment, due to the surgery. So
now, can I ask you a bit personal? But how did you get big in the first place? Was it purely just bad diet, or is it a hereditary thing?
Nah, a combination of bad diet, drinking too much, a bit depressed, just your normal life things, which us guys don't think about. So
yeah,
well, mate, well done. Massive pat on the back. This is well done. That's just huge. Enormous.
No, that's a huge amount of weight to lose at any time, let alone in 8 months. But it's a real credit to you for doing that. And the one man who sort of kick-started all is big Tex Walker. And Tex joins us now. Good morning, Tex.
Morning, boys. What a great story to wake up to. How good's that?
You there, Gaz?
Yeah, thanks, Tex.
No worries, mate. And just to clarify, I didn't call you big fella because of your weight. It's like saying, g'day, mate, how are you?
Yeah, I know. But it just resonates home. But, yes, I did take it that way.
Oh, mate, I'm proud of you. Good work.
Thank you. So, yeah, 7XL down to a large now. So
see, that's the problem, Gary. My wife gets into me about my weight, and I said, yeah, but I'd have to buy new clothes, and it's too expensive, you know.
Come on, big fella, bitch.
Tex, we could just about put him, just about get a game in the forward line now, wouldn't he? About 90 kilos, it's about right, isn't it?
Oh, we might have to. 90 kilos floating around the forward line. He could be a good kick. Big. I can't call you. I'm a little fella now.
Little fella.
No, I only give with my hands. I'll let you guys do the kicking. So
I'll put you in the midfield then.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Tex? You've been overseas for a little bit and you're back in town now?
Yeah. Myself and Bradley Crouch got overseas. So we went over to, popped into Hong Kong on the way over and went to Happy Valley on the Wednesday night, which is a great spectacle. And then we went on to America for just under 3 weeks. So got to see some great sights of America and also some sport, which they do 20 times better than Australia. It's unbelievable over there. But
what do you mean? What do you mean they do it better? Tell us.
Just the atmosphere, and it's just unbelievable. They're so passionate. The tailgating, it's just exciting. Some of the stuff they do throughout the game is you wouldn't have thought of. So
make some notes. Great to give them the fakes.
Don't worry, mate. I have it in my notes on the phone.
Now, you would have had to done some research and development into the pub game and bar game over there. Did you get a few little ideas there as well?
Well, the number one thing is just make sure you have cold beer, Bruce. So we've got that.
Oh, you went all the way over there and brought that back.
Yeah. Comfortable chairs and cold beer, that's what gets you there.
You're a genius, Tex. Fair dinkum. Hey, Tex, thanks for joining us, mate. This has been a great story. Gary, well done, mate. Everyone listening, so pumped for you. Well done.
Thanks, guys.
Keep it up, Gaz. Yeah. Don't blow out 150 again, mate.
Definitely not. No
good on you. Good on you. Well done. And well done to Tex, too, for his inspiration. Good story. Good stuff. We got a call coming in. Hello. Good morning.
Yeah, g'day. How you going, guys?
Good.
What's your name?
Jeff.
Jeff.
I just want to say, I don't know why that's important, I just want to say that Tex is right there, because I was walking down the street the other day, and I passed a bloke with only one leg, and I said, g'day, hop along, how's it going? But I only meant it in a friendly way, and apparently he went out the next day and got a wooden leg the next day, so good ending, so I've done a good thing there.
Well,
I reckon. I'd call everyone
Jeff.
Hop along.
Yeah. Well done, Jeff.
Right.
Okay, see you later, boy.
See you later,
Jeff.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
104.7 Triple M.
25 degrees today and sunny. Beautiful. It's 9 degrees at the moment. Bit of a chilly start, but it will be a cracker. Roo, what's going on with our truckies?
Well, they decided to do a little bit of a blitz, I guess you'd call it, and pull over a heap of trucks at several different locations. And out of the 300 trucks that they pulled over, 20 of the drivers tested positive to drugs, and 27 of those trucks were defected for various issues. So just the ratios are far too high, you would expect.
Sounds like it. Executive Director of South Australian Road Transport Association is Steve Shearer. It's actually a friend of mine, Steve. I've known him all my life.
Right.
Let's get him on. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, g'day. How are you?
Yeah, it's good.
I've known you since you were smaller than a squash racket.
There you go. There you go. Now, Steve, is it as bad as that? We seem to about once every 12 months a report like this comes out. And,
well, that's one in 15, it's drivers.
You know, these are lethal weapons, Steve. We're talking trucks on the road. They are massive, and if they're out of control, it's very dangerous. How bad is it?
Well, look, the first thing I'd say, and we've always said, is that one truck driver or one motorist or one cyclist on the road using drugs is one too many. So, you know, whether it's 1% or 6%, it's too many. 6% is certainly higher than we've traditionally heard about, and at my regular monthly meeting with the police today, I'll be finding out, I hope, all the detail. But, you know, this is why we fought tooth and nail with the state Labor government for 12 and a half years until about a year ago, when they finally caved in and gave the police the authority to tell the owners of a truck when they find this sort of thing on the road with a driver using drugs, for example. And one of the things I'll be asking today is how many of the employers, if they're employees, of those 20 drivers have been informed, and if they haven't been, why the hell haven't they been?
Very good question, yeah.
Yeah, because we've got to be able to manage it. Now, the second thing I'd say is that we know the percentage of motorists using drugs is actually significantly high, but the point you made in your comment is right. Trucks are very big, and if they're in an accident, and 91% of the time, according to the recent figures from the police and road safety minister, when there is a serious truck accident and other vehicles involved, and 80% of those accidents are actually caused by the other vehicle, but that still leaves about 24% of the time when the truck driver has caused the accident. And that could include this 6%, as I think I heard Dits do the calculation, 1 in 15 is about 6%. That could include as a cause drivers, truck drivers on drugs for the 24% of the accidents that we actually cause. So I'll be trying to find all of that out from the police. The big question then is, what do you actually do about it?
Are the penalties stiff enough?
Yes, they are. The penalties are stiff enough, but in the past, and the reason we pushed hard to get the police to be allowed to tell the owner of a truck let's say 12 or 13 of them are employees and the rest are self-employed. Those 12 or 13 employees are probably not going to rush back to work and say to the boss, hey, I just got done for using drugs. Yeah. They keep it quiet and the boss might never know. Now, once the boss knows, they've got to manage that, and you don't manage it just by sacking people. You manage it by using drug screening. And you ramp that right up on the individuals until you make sure that their recreational drug use isn't, you know, coming into the workplace.
Steve, what's the what is the penalty for, say, a truck driver who does test positive? What's the first offence?
I have to double check the figure, Roo, to get the exact figure, but it's many hundreds of dollars.
So and it's not a lot of license, loss of license.
Well, it can be if it's high enough, and it's certainly a lot of loss of points. You wouldn't need many drug offences to lose your licence entirely. I'll check the trigger points today because, to be honest, I'm not certain.
Right.
Because it's not this. The police have said to me, I've met with them every month for 20 years on a little committee that I chair, and the police have always said to me, and probably will say again today, it's a small recalcitrant minority that they're concerned about, but like I said, one's too many.
Of course it is.
And so those issues...
We're talking about 1 in 15 here.
Yes, 6%, yep. That's right. I can tell you, though, if you get the same figures from motorists, it's much higher, which is really scary.
What is it? What ratio do you think people driving cars out there then? Are you saying it's what, 1 in 10?
Yes, much closer to 1 in 10. Yep.
So if you pulled 10 cars over, any cars randomly in South Australia today, one of them would be under the influence?
You might have to pull over more than 10.
Well,
to
if you did 100, you'd get 10, yeah. Would you?
That's right, yeah. Yeah,
that's
high. It's pretty
Steve,
yeah.
But can I put it to you that I'm interested in one of the things you said just a moment ago. Now, if I work in the mines, I'm just looking out the window here, there are cranes we can see in the city. There are so many professions I can think of where I think I'm right in saying there are random drug tests or you are tested automatically on the work site. Surely it's a given that trucking firms would have to also test their drivers. I can't believe they're not tested, to be honest.
Well, in a lot of the companies, they are tested and they have random drug screening where people are picked at random. On a lot of sites, you can't even enter the site until you're sort of approved.
Yeah.
And one of
yeah.
the processes is, you know, random checking. And, of course, that also becomes targeted checking if they think an individual is on drugs. And once they are detected, then that individual gets a lot of drug screening until it's clear they're no longer using drugs at work.
Mm.
Now, the problem is, 6% too high. That means 94% aren't.
Yep.
And the cost of doing drug screening on everybody is prohibitive and it wouldn't be justified. But this is why we need the information from the police about which drivers they're finding. In the past, what they had to do, they couldn't tell the owner. So if they found a second, you know, unbelievable, a second instance in that company, they could then go and impound a truck. And once they impound the truck, which cost the company a lot of money and very unfairly because the company's done nothing wrong in most cases, but once they impound a truck, they could actually tell the owners why.
Yeah.
And they had to work around it. And 12 and a half years later, we won the argument with the Labor government, and Stephen Mulligan, the Transport Minister, is the guy who stepped up to the plate and fixed it.
Good.
So we expect now that the police are in the process of contacting the employers of those drivers, and we would expect they would say to those companies, so what are you going to do about this?
Mm.
We'll take the guy through court, but are you going to manage it?
All right, Steve, thanks so much. Very informative this morning. Steve Shearer, Executive Director, South Australian Road Transport Association. Roo, I'll say it again. I would have thought it was a given that truck drivers need to be clean and that they are tested.
Yeah, but like you said, it's cost too much.
Mm,
how much money do you put
at
on
what
life?
Cost?
Yep, good point.
Don't miss a minute of Roo and Dits for Breakfast on the catch-up.
Thanks to Heatworks.
Check out the first ever barbecue expo this weekend for free barbecue hero cooking demonstrations. Heatworks Norwood. 104.7 Triple M.